All right, guys, welcome to episode 31 of The Scoop. My final one manning the captain's chair.
Captain's chair.
If that's what my title
is. You have arguably the worst chair in this room.
Oh, I absolutely do. It's not a spinny chair. I can't really rock back and forth on it. So, like, I'm kind of limited here. In my intern chair.
Your intern chair.
My intern chair. I'm a little bit lower than everyone else, I feel. I feel small. So, yeah, on my last show. I don't want to make this all about me.
Talk about your attire for the last show.
I'm wearing a Phillies Children's Windbreaker, which is a large, so it kind of fits me kind of nicely. It's a nice t-shirt. I'm wearing a polo under it. It's like, still looks good.
Yeah.
And a backwards running hat that I kind of just threw on because I didn't want to look too proper.
I honestly, when you guys zipped up, I thought the blue polo was part of the Phillies.
That'd be kind of cool.
I thought it was like a padded neck.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. But either way, I'm
rocking it. You look like someone, like, take your child to work day. Like, you look like the son of a player who's out, like, shagging
for the whole story. Like son.
You look like... You look like the female player that could really play that they would bring in like early 1990s Disney movies. Like, oh, we really need like somebody to come in and bring this team here. You look like Icebox from Little Giants.
Okay, I'm okay with that classification. That's not that bad. But we got a good show for you today, guys. This is where we are wrapping up our regularly scheduled Scoop podcast.
Yes.
We'll pop in from time to time over the summer. Pop-up podcast.
I coined that term.
That's great. I like that.
Coming to you live from the 18th and JFK.
And we're just going to roll with it.
A couple of things. John also has a number of blue ink stains on the lower end of his hand.
Do we want to know why? Is there an interesting story behind that?
I was writing down. I have a blue pen here. I was writing down something.
He writes with a purpose, like Anna Kendrick in Into the...
Into the Woods?
Up in the air. She types with a purpose.
Okay, well.
Matt hasn't said a word yet.
Matt's here today.
Matt might arguably have the most to talk about this week due to the fact that...
pretty much...
No, I was going to say that Temple acquired its biggest recruit when Matt got into Temple.
Yeah.
Congratulations
are in order to Matt Vender.
That's why he's wearing the Temple shirt today.
That I am, yes.
Yes, good stuff. All right, well, congrats, Matt.
Thank you.
So how are you doing this week, before I ask anyone?
Doing well. It's been a good week. Temple got a 5-star commitment this week. I'm excited about it.
Here we go.
Speaking in third person?
We should talk about ourselves in third person the whole...
I don't think we should. I don't think anybody
Jamie doesn't think
should. Nobody would enjoy that.
Matt, do you want to tell everybody about the fact that, like, he tweets about getting into Temple, like, jokes about being a walk-on, and then someone responds thinking that there was an actual walk-on.
Yeah, right? Somebody asked me, tweeted me back, I joked about potentially walking on, and I tagged Matt Rhule in the tweet, and then somebody tweeted me asking, who is this walk-on transfer that you're referring to?
How do you respond back to that?
I just said, I don't believe I'm walking on to the Temple football team or something along the lines of that.
Sorry to lead you astray. Your credibility is going up.
I hope you don't listen to this podcast, as we're going to kind of make fun of you for tweeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but it was funny.
You had it coming.
That's fantastic.
Matt wrote about 28 to 29 stories for us this week, so we have a lot to talk about.
Is that
about
a new record?
Something. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, there we go. Give credit where credit is due. Good job, Matt. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
Jamie, what will you remember, before we get into the spring football game and the recruiting stories and stuff, what will you remember from your time spent with us? Not that this is going to be the last time you see us.
It definitely won't be.
But what do you reflect upon?
I don't want it as a general. I want individually. What are you going to reflect upon? What are you going to remember about me?
I'm going to start out first. Matt came along and, like, you guys beat up on me a lot, you being John and Kyle.
Okay.
Matt came in and kind of, like, boosted the morale. I don't feel nearly
as beat down. You guys nicer with Matt?
Yeah, Matt's a lot nicer. And, like, he was a good addition. Were you here his first few weeks? Or, like, I feel like Matt's first one, you weren't here.
I think I was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think
there were times where you weren't here and we carried the ship.
Yeah, I missed two episodes out of 30.
That's a while. So, whatever. So, those are my memories of Matt. John has been my instructor, educator, internship... teacher, whatever you might want to call it, for a while. He looks like he's really focused in thought right now.
He's waiting for the shoot.
Get me to the point.
He's waiting for you.
Yeah, I am waiting for you to say something.
Well, I need to get a grade from John first. So, like,
speak honestly. Let's not. Don't worry about that.
I mean, I've had John for 2 semesters, and
to be quite frank, a little underwhelmed.
No, I mean, John's been great for both semesters. I mean, coming to Alscoop was great. I've learned a lot. I've really done a lot with the audio stuff here, which is kind of what I wanted to get into for a while now. And podcasting has been great with you guys. John's taught me a lot about even covering college sports now more than anything, because I've been involved in more professional sports, being with ESPN and Fox recently. So, like, getting to know the people on a more personal level, John's kind of showed me what that's all about. And finally, Kyle.
That was way too nice.
So this took a turn I was not expecting.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Kyle's just been the knife in my side for a while. Just twisting the wound. I mean, the Snapchat's like, yeah, making fun of me.
That's one, and it happened 15 minutes ago.
It directly comes to mind.
Recency bias. I tweeted out your yearbook photo. It's not like I've been
He put it with flowers on it.
I did. I put the face.
You made me look like a Coachella girl. Like, I don't need that.
I don't need the camera home because you didn't bring your boyfriend. That's what festival girls do.
Well, exactly. This is my relationship with Kyle. The knife in my side.
That's fair.
Wow.
And I think I've been fairly complimentary of both of them. The one who asked me of this, I really don't want to compliment you, Kyle.
I ask you to reflect on your time with us, and Kyle just clasps his fingers together. Let's make this more individual.
Every now and then you need to be checked a little. And I think I just got checked.
You seem pretty okay,
yeah, I'm okay with
the classifications that you're getting.
I'm not going to lose much sleep over this. Just keep this in mind when you need a reference.
Fair enough. Well, I don't think you'll be... Kyle officially hired you.
I'd also like to point out that you asked me for a job last week. Or you asked if I could...
I asked everyone for a job.
If I could get you a job, and then 7 days later, you referred to me as the knife in your side for the last year.
Yeah, well...
And I'm the one that officially hired you to begin with.
I'm just officially hired.
Yeah, he told me, look, if you don't like Jamie, well, we won't hire Jamie. And I said, you know what?
Did you enjoy your phone call with me?
Sure.
I never said that.
Because I described to Kyle as the moment he hired me, I was sneaking off into a broom closet at Sesame Place for him to interview me. And that's when Kyle's like,
it's just like an empty, like, Big Bird costume in this closet.
Yeah, there might have been. And then I'm just talking to Kyle. And I'm like,
what
all
if
right,
you were
well,
talking to
this.
Kyle in this closet and you walked into, like, public view and you were talking to Kyle, but then you had to stay in character, and you're talking to Kyle, and then you have
not
to speak like Big Bird.
I'm not Big Bird.
With it. It's funnier.
Why
that
do you
way.
Ruin everything?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to be real here.
Jamie 2.0 is gonna be so much better next year. Like a new Jamie.
Who's new Jamie gonna be?
Jimmy, just call yourself Jimmy. So if you're interested in interning for AlScoop, please shoot an email to alscoop@gmail.com.
We already have somebody in mind.
I have a person in mind, too. I'll tell you guys off the air.
Oh, boy.
This really hurts. So
Hunger Games.
I've already been replaced before. I'm even off the air for my last one.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we'll call you from road trips to... how many road trips are there next
UConn
year? Call you
next year.
UConn, Penn State. We'll call you somewhere from God knows where in Harrisburg. We're stuck in traffic on 322, stuck behind some sort of broken down truck that smells like horse manure.
Listening to 80s on 8 on Sirius Radio.
Oh, man.
A lot of fun.
You guys
driving.
Really
I don't have satellite radio.
Now.
We'll drive my car next. Hey, let's go. Let's talk.
Right.
Let's talk
anyway.
Spring football.
So you guys, spring football game, cherry and white football game last
weekend.
What an
awkward transition.
It was an awkward segment.
Okay. Well, it's not
I
done,
it.
So let's go. Let's roll with it. So, what did you guys see last weekend at the Cherry and White game that stuck out to you?
We saw
Freddie Booth Lloyd
returning
punts. he did not catch it, I don't think.
That's their. They've done that for the past couple years. They do that where they take some of the bigger linemen out, and when they punt, they try to have some fun with it and have some of the bigger linemen try to catch the punt.
I mean, yeah, it's about fun, right? But it's also about because of the scoring system, you only got a point if you actually caught the punt.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that added a little bit of a challenge, mm-hmm. right? Because if you put Sean Chandler back there, hopefully he's going to catch every punt.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Brendan McGowan because he had a club and he had to try to catch it.
A little
it.
Club cast, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're the coaching staff, you feel like the way they had the game structure was offense versus defense, so neither team was watered down. I guess you saw what you needed to see out of, you know, the offense got off to a slow start. P.J. Walker got going. Frank Neutile looked pretty good. Matt Rhule said that Logan Marchie has had a good spring.
Yeah,
he didn't really show it in the spring game. Sean Chandler, I think, being at safety was probably the most intriguing storyline there. I think he could that, – that's probably, I think, the most interesting question to contemplate is if he's at safety and Sean Chandler and Delvon Randall are your safeties, and I think they could be really good because Sean Chandler really likes to hit people. He's got great lateral movement. He can really move around the field, and he even said – and a clip that we'll play later that he actually might prefer playing safety, then who are your corners? Could you really go into the season with two former wide receivers as your starting cornerbacks and Nate Harrison, which I can see because he's been at the position for a while, but Derek Thomas at the other corner, who's really tall, really scary. I mean, he's about, you know, 2 inches taller than like your average height of like a lot of the corners who are being drafted. Does that mean that they really like Linwood Crump enough, or that they really like Kareem Golden enough, or Benny Walls or something like that? If they think one of these guys can come in the span of 4 weeks in August, win a job? I think that's one of the most interesting questions.
No, I think I'm not fully on board with that it's a permanent move. I think it's you do it to, like Rule said, to stretch him out a little bit. So in certain scenarios, in, you know, nickel scenarios or something like that, you have some more versatility in the defensive backfield. I also don't think you can, if he was playing safety, one, is that automatically Delvon Randall's the other safety, or is Nathaniel Smith able to play that? Mm-hmm. Two, doesn't necessarily mean that Derek Thomas is starting. There is Archel Foster. Mm-hmm. Kareem Ali looked like he was a D1 player. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he's still in the mix. He's still a backup and all this, but I just kind of viewed it as, look, we know what Champ Chandler can do in corner. And I honestly think if he is going to play at the next level, he probably is going to be a safety. Mm-hmm. He probably doesn't have that top-level speed to really be shut down an NFL cornerback. But
yeah. I don't see it as a permanent move right now with Chandler, but mainly because, one, Nadal Smith was really missed most of spring practice. Because he had a class during the week, so he wasn't practicing during the week. So I think they just probably decided, hey, we'll move Chandler over, get him some snaps at safety, partially because of that. And I don't buy it also because of who you have at cornerback. I mean, I think Nate Harrison proved that he can play last year for a good chunk of the season, especially when Tavon Young was down. And Derek Thomas is unproven at cornerback. Archel Foster hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. Yep. And Kareem Ali, he looked like, as Kyle said, he looked like a D1 player, but Rule said he has a long way to go. So I don't know how much you can really put it on Kareem Ali to give you a lot of snaps next year. So at corner, I just don't see how they could move Chandler over permanently.
Yeah, and I agree with Kyle. The Kareem looked like he was fairly comfortable out there. He was consistently, it was Ali and Archel Foster were the second team corners. Although every time you ask the coaches about Kareem Ali, and again, like I feel like Matt kind of, like he said, he's coming along, but he's got a long way to go before he's playing. But then he'll kind of backtrack and say, all these guys just need more time. They need more time. Kareem's a little bit on the shorter side. I think it's going to be interesting for him. When you look at the schedule, so they open up, regardless of who they have, like let's say they really are convinced, like, no, Sean Chandler is going to be a safety with Delvon Randall. And
go defend the triple option as a safety.
Well, yeah, because in those first 2 weeks, you really don't get tested. And then all of a sudden, it's like the boom. Then you go up to play Penn State. I'd be lying if I said I had intimate knowledge of Stony Brook's roster.
You can test it as a safety against the triple option. It's just not.
I'm talking about your corners. So if you're new corners, so let's say
okay,
like I guess there are two schools of thought on this. Like you could say, all right, we're playing Army and Stony Brook in the first 2 weeks of the season. We can break in whatever, like Nate Harrison, whoever's going to be playing opposite him as the other corner, and then by that third week of the season, they'll be more ready to go against Penn State. But are you getting lulled into, you know, you're not going to get tested by Army throwing the ball. Stony Brook again. You know, you go up to play at Penn State, and you can say all you want, oh, okay, well, Temple beat them now, and now they'll have an easier time with them because Christian Hackenberg's not around. No, they'll probably reload, and they'll still be a tough game. So even with the way the schedule breaks, it's kind of tricky, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, obviously we've got a lot of football left ahead in terms of covering, you know, preseason camp in August. But I think, and again, who knows? I think they're a little bit more than – I get the impression that they're a little bit more than just kind of casual with it. I think if there is a way that they can get a corner in there that they feel comfortable with alongside Harrison, that they would give it a shot. But again, that depends upon, you know, Archel Foster, like Matt said, proving he can be healthy if he's good enough. Or if someone like Linwood Crump comes in and he's just really good from get-go.
I think I'm not trying to dismiss the idea that you'll see Champ Chandler at safety. I think you will see Champ Chandler lined up at safety sometime.
You love calling him Champ Chandler.
Champ Chandler. But I just can't see you starting the season with Sean Chandler as a starting safety. And less because of his ability and more because of the inexperience behind him at corner.
But if Crump is an interesting name to bring up, but Crump,
he hasn't played competitive football. At that point, he'll be really 2 years.
Fast. I know he's really fast and really talented. I think he's going to come in and turn some heads, and I think they'd struggle to redshirt him. But who knows?
I hope so. Seems like a nice kid. Hasn't played competitive football in 2 years.
What else stood out to you guys? I mean, some of the other storylines. Who popped to you guys? Who looked good? What are some of your other takeaways from the game?
I'll agree. I think the quarterbacks looked good. That being said, some of New Tile's touchdowns would have been sacks if it was like a real life scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I think the wide receivers are deep. I don't think you'll see somebody pop in and say, okay, I'm going to catch 65 balls for 950 yards like Robbie Anderson did. But I think with Keith Kirkwood and Donis Jennings, and they're deep enough that they've at least toyed around with the idea of moving Ramon Deloach to defensive end. I think there's going to be plenty of weapons on the offense. I think their running backs will be a strength. I mean, they looked good. The running backs looked good, and Jahad Thomas wasn't even playing. I think the offensive line is the big question mark. Brandon McGowan didn't really play center that much this spring because of a broken hand, but you would presume that he's going to be the starting center, and then you got Deion Dawkins, who's not solid, probably a future NFL player, very good tackle, but then you kind of got some question marks after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Carter got benched towards the end. Leon Johnson started a fair amount of games last year, but never really dominated the position. And then you're going to search Von Fair, left guard. I don't know. Offensive line, I feel like, is always a subject of scrutiny, and it continues to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the running backs looked really good to me. I mean, mm-hmm. Raquel Armstead looked really, really good without Jahad Thomas and without David Hood, and Jagger Gardner had some nice runs as well. So, I mean, that's got to be probably one of the deepest positions on the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys just looked really good, especially behind an offensive line that is shaky right now.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they were using two walk-ons and a true freshman in Darian Bryant, and mm-hmm. Jagger Gardner was still able to...
I get the sense that they are like mildly impressed with what Darian Bryant's done so far.
I don't think he'll play. I agree.
If you can afford to redshirt him, you redshirt him. But again, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. With that line, I think he was even talking about Benson Israel and saying, is he a backup center or can you move him out to guard?
Yeah.
But I agree. Like they haven't been. I guess any coaching staff could say, oh, well, we'd like to have a better line. We'd like to have more depth on our line. But I feel like they haven't really had a road-grading offensive line that they've been really happy with since they had, like, you know, when Al and Steve were around. Like, it was like Palumbo, Wayne Tribue, and those guys.
Darius Morris.
Yeah, and Steve Mineri was a good blocking tight end.
Who was the other Steve? Caputo?
Steve Caputo. Pride of Kennett Square.
Yeah.
His dad's like a mushroom farmer or something like that.
That's all I think about when I think about Kansas.
I agree. The interesting point about the wide receivers, I think it's a deep group. Who's going to emerge to be the leading receiver? Is it Vantel Bryan? Is it Adonis Jennings? We got to see Marshall Ellick will be an interesting story because you're talking about a guy who has not, again, caught a pass in a game that's counted. I think he only caught one pass in the spring game, but had a chance to talk to him after the game and again, could be a guy that goes from not having caught a pass to maybe a guy that goes to just catching 25, 30 balls next year. Talked a lot about all the assortment of injuries that he had in high school.
Broken bones.
Yeah, a lot of broken bones. And he said he hasn't had any broken bones recently. It's just been more his hamstring. And he talked just about what the spring, just kind of emerging in spring ball, has done for his confidence. And here's what he had to say.
It definitely makes me feel a lot better about myself, knowing that I can play at this level. And I just feel like showing that I can make plays in practice and then make it translate over to the field, I feel like I didn't really play up to like what I was expecting myself to play today. But I feel like I've showed what I can do, and I just got to make sure I can translate it over to when it comes to the big stage.
I think also, too, I think the linebackers stood out, and they're another interesting position to look at. Sean Bradley had apparently we're boring Jamie. He just let out a yawn.
No, I was just running down the time. Trust me, it's been a long day.
I'm sorry, buddy.
What time did you wake up today?
5:30.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I'll allow it.
You gonna try and say that I'm not waking up early?
Just saying.
Did you drink a raw egg and go out for a run?
No, I can't run.
I know. Put your boots off.
Yeah, well, that's probably not allowed, but I did it anyway.
Because he's a rebel. Anyway,
fight on.
Linebackers. I'm really intrigued by what I've seen with linebackers. Sean Bradley, who I think is a really interesting story. He's put on, I don't know how much weight since leaving Grand Cocos Valley, and was, I guess, was going to be like either a running back or a safety, and is now at, what, 220-something? Has he put on that much weight? I mean, looks now like a hard-hitting middle linebacker. He had a big hit in the game. Chappelle Russell had a big hit in the game that would have gone for like a tackle for a loss, but instead just went for like a pass breakup. Kyle had a really good story on Chappelle Russell earlier this week on the site. Check that out. And again, all of the audio from the spring game, in case you missed it from this past weekend, is up on the site as well. And I think that, when we got to talk to Chappelle Russell after the game, I think he was one of the more intriguing interviews, because we had him for a while, and he talked a lot about, I think all of these guys are very, this is their goal, right? They want to be, they want to have the character, the integrity, the experience that Matt Ioannidis, Tavon Young, and of course Tyler Matakevich have had. But there's the belief of saying, okay, these guys have led the way, but we think we can be even more athletic and we can be better. Now, that's easier said than done. You've got to go out and prove it. But he had, that interesting remark when you asked him about the position. He talked about team speed, and you basically said to him, isn't that what got you guys against Houston and against USF? And he basically was like, yeah. You know, we need more speed there, because it was very evident they couldn't catch up with Marlon Mack. I mean, Greg Ward was kind of made it difficult for a lot of people to bring him down. I mean, he torched Temple. Made Florida State look really bad. So sometimes a good player is just a good player. But that was another interesting conversation to come out. Like, how much better could this defense be if, obviously you still got to take the right angles, you still got to wrap people up and tackle them and know the defense, but there's the team speed aspect of things. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that's definitely interesting. I think he had a comment about Bradley saying, like, I'm hitting the gap and I'm not used to having a mic right there with me. Like, Bradley's that fast. He can, he's in the inside linebacker position, but still has that speed, that agility to kind of catch up as if he was a Will or a Sam. But I think it's pretty important for a guy like Russell, a guy like Grimes, a guy like Sean Bradley to really get a fair amount of experience this year, because going into 2017, you're replacing all three starting linebackers.
Uh-huh.
You're replacing Avery Williams, Stephon Marshall, and Jared Alwan. So, like, even if Russell only goes out there and gets 20 tackles this year, it's imperative that they get a fair amount of experience under their belt. But I think they have the talent and they're a different type of linebacker as opposed to the other type of linebackers that Russell and Grimes will probably see a fair amount of playing time.
Yeah, and they just really stand out. I mean, it was the spring game, and it's not an actual game scenario, but Sean Bradley looks really fast and really big.
Russell looked dynamic, but the big thing, apparently, according to Rule, has been teaching him how to be physical, because at Lakewood he was a pretty big quarterback, but running back, he's kind of an offensive-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
He looked plenty physical in the spring game.
Yeah, he weighed down that huge hit on Trevon Williams, it was. Yeah.
And isn't that who Bradley hit, too? I think was it Trevon Williams that got dinged by him, too? Or?
I don't remember the Bradley hit.
And I mean, again, obviously, like, Bradley is a gray shirt, so he's yet to play. Both these guys haven't played a down of any game yet, but I'll be interested to see what happens. I mean, if Bradley is that good and he keeps coming along, does he push Jared Alwan that much? I think, with all due respect to Avery Williams and Stephon Marshall, they can be, I mean, obviously, it sounds like Matt would want Avery Williams out there because he's the emotional leader. He talks, he's jovial. Too. He's gotten a lot bigger, although Marshall and Williams are both on the shorter side. And we've talked about that before, and how they're not like the typical prototype that Phil Snow wants. So if you're deep at that position, you can rotate those guys in, and you're improving the team speed area. Yeah, then you've got something to look at, because again, Houston's not on the regular season schedule, but I would have to think that, I don't know, as cliche as it sounds, the conference championship goes through them. The road to the title goes through Houston, and you're shaking your head. You hate me.
I hate you.
What would you have gone with instead?
I would have said they're a good team that if you get to the conference championship, you might face.
That's a lot less dramatic. Less dramatic version.
Thanks,
Jamie. I don't think you say that like that's a good thing. Yeah.
Anyway, I think they'll have obviously a heck of a lot more depth at linebacker, and if you have that, then maybe you're relying upon someone like Nick Sharga a lot less, who didn't play. Did Nick Sharga play at all in the spring?
No, he wasn't.
So I thought that was one of the more intriguing battles. But here's Chappelle Russell, in the remark that we talked about, talking about, just the possibility of this defense being quicker, being faster. And here's what he had to say after the spring game.
Yeah, speed everywhere. Like, our linebackers probably average about a 4.6, 4.7, 40. Like, we're all guys that can run. So, and that's something that coaches, preaches. You know, we do loafs every day after practice for guys who's loafing, who's not running to the ball, who's not doing their assignment. So, he just preached that since we're so fast, everybody gets the ball. You know, a tip pass could lead to an interception or a forced fumble, a scoop and score. So, they reiterate running to the ball and things like that. And it's the speed, being able to close on screen, close on bubbles, close on everything a lot faster. So that's helping us be able to swarm as a defense.
All right, and just other positions of interest that stood out to you guys. Like who else kind of flashed you? Who else, anything that surprised you? Anything that made you pick up the pen and just write something down and say, that was really interesting, guys. I'm going to write about that.
I mean, I feel like we kind of talked about the big ones already. Outside of that, I understand that. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Kip Patton ended up playing. I thought he wasn't going to play. He played a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if he ends up learning how to block and becoming a tight end, or if he ends up becoming a wide receiver, like if he ends up adding to that depth of wide receiver. But I just thought there was a lot more depth on Temple than there was 7 years ago when I first started covering spring football games.
Mm-hmm. What about, again, we're guessing here, but
let's go position by position. Give you your
projections. Which one of these guys, you know, from the incoming class? Again, they have limited time to come in. I mean, they can get here, you know, in the first summer session or second summer session and start, you know, being around the team, being around the program. But which of these recruits do you think will come in and push for time?
Do you want to go first?
I'll go. Okay. So I mentioned Linwood Crump, but he's definitely, although he hasn't played football, he didn't play his senior year of high school football because he dealt with the hazing incident.
Yep.
At Sayreville, and then transferred over to Piscataway and then wasn't able to play. So Linwood Crump's a guy that I think will have a chance to come in and play right away. I think if Greg Webb makes it and gets through things academically, I definitely think he'll be able to come in and play right away.
Looked big though, didn't he?
Yeah. He did look very big.
That's the type of defensive tackle he is. He's not a Karamo. He's a
mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of Karamo, I think he'll have a chance to come in and play right away. Although it also wouldn't totally shock me if he redshirts.
Yeah, I think his versatility could probably help him kind of get the inside path because he could play a big defensive end or he can play inside. So. I wouldn't surprise me to see Karamo retro. Wouldn't surprise me to see Karamo appear in every game next year. I think mm-hmm. he has the talent, the versatility. I'll say, in addition to Linwood Crump, again, he has all the talent in the world, right? He says, but no, he can really shake it off. I would say Randall Jones, Freddie Johnson. I think one wide receiver, or maybe it's Isaiah Wright. I think one wide receiver will probably not redshirt next year and play.
Mm-hmm.
Just I kind of give the advantage to a Freddie Johnson or a Randall Jones, who with that speed can kind of take the top off a defense, which is the one thing for the amount of wide receivers they have. Who's that wide receiver? Is it Cortrell Simpson? Is it Freddie Jones? Is it Randall Jones?
Mm-hmm. And Matt talked about how he said, Adonis Jennings and Keith Kirkwood, and he said, I think they're like two of the fastest guys on the
team.
They
don't play that way.
They don't really play that way, and I think,
was it PJ?
PJ was asked about that, and he said, it's just more their stride, it's the way they run, but they can be fast.
Well, PJ also, in his candidness, said, when Adonis goes full speed, he's out of control, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he doesn't know how to, like, run routes when he's that fast. So, mm-hmm. that's not a good thing.
That's the PJ Walker leadership curve. I mean, I think, for a couple of years, and Matt Rhule's brought this up on several occasions, I think there were times when... And PJ's been far from perfect. I mean, his completion percentage has to go up. He's got to get into the 60s. And, again, like we've talked about before, we'll probably have to be, put up some better numbers, be at times a little bit less of, like, a game manager. But I think he's taken some heat over the past couple of years, and there were times, in that one of the picks he threw at Penn State a couple of years ago where I think Matt flat out came out and said, the tight end ran the wrong route. He put the ball in the right spot. But for a couple of years, PJ was always saying, it's on me. And now that he's becoming a little bit more comfortable, he was asked, after the game last Saturday about the leadership piece of things. And he said that he, called out Brian Carter and I think Leon Johnson for, saying, hey, the other day they look like they didn't really want to be here. So every once in a while, he'll give you some anecdotal stuff where he said, well, this guy needs to get better and this guy needs to do this. I wouldn't say he's doing it on a consistent basis, but I thought he gave you what you needed to see. Again, I thought, like you said, maybe a couple of Frank Neuthaus passes, maybe including that bomb to Kirkwood, might have been a sack if it was in a live situation. But I thought Frank Neuthaus looked very, very confident, very calm. And now he's, two full years removed, or almost mm-hmm. 2 full years removed from his ACL tear.
I will find it interesting that Rhule wasn't, I mean, it makes sense because, people look at Pete, but he wasn't even willing to say, oh, no, Frank's distanced himself. Whether that's Logan or even mentioning Anthony Russo as a potential being in the competition, I would find it hard to believe that they would burn Russo's red shirt, give him a couple mop-up snaps.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of took that to mean that I don't know. I think if his feet were pressed to the fire, I think Matt would say, yeah, Frank's our number two. I just don't want to lose Logan here and make him think that, that he can't get that number two spot. But again, I don't know. He's a little bit shorter than Frank. Sometimes he's got that sidearm delivery.
Yeah, one was a little strange.
Yeah. But again, need to remind people that when we go to watch practice, we can only see the last 15 or 20 minutes. So maybe he has had really good stretches of practice.
All right, so now on to recruiting.
Matt has pretty much carried us for the last few days. Actually, a lot of good recruiting content and some stuff up on the site this week, both basketball and football. I know people have been clamoring for basketball recruiting coverage.
We get a mailbag question every single week.
They're grumpy. They're upset. They want to see results. No, not a whole lot to report on the 2016 front other than...
What's his name? Went to Cleveland State, right?
Anthony Wright, who, again, I don't think that Temple actually ever firmly offered Anthony Wright from out of Harcum. He committed to Cleveland State. Yes, Fran Dunphy's been up a number of times to see Cekna Dembele, but he's now got Michigan State on him. Syracuse, it sounds like he'll be a tough get. Matt did talk to Hassan French this week, who's a 2017 recruit, plays for the PSA Cardinals, so he's playing with the likes of Quade Green, Muhammad Bamba, Brandon Randolph, guys that Temple also recruiting. And then Matt also had a chance to talk to another 2017 big man, Ejike Obina, who plays down in Virginia, right?
Yep.
So Aaron McKee is his lead recruiter. Matt's had a couple of other football stories up, so why don't you fill us in?
So, yeah, I'll start off with the basketball side of things. Obviously, the April live period has begun, mm-hmm. so the coaches are out on the road recruiting, whether it's over the weekend, they're at the AAU tournaments, and then they're allowed to go once a week and see kids at their high schools or go for in-home visits. So Hassan French picked up an offer from Temple on Monday, I believe. Temple watched all of the PSA Cardinal games. The PSA Cardinals play on the Nike YBL circuit, and they were in Brooklyn this past weekend. So a member of the Temple coaching staff was at every game for them. As John mentioned, PSA also has Quade Green. They have Mo Bamba, Brandon Randolph, three guys that Temple is recruiting hard, but they also have a lot of high majors on them as well. French is a 6'7", 220-pound forward. Power forward. He plays at Commonwealth Academy up in Massachusetts. Dwayne Killings is actually from Massachusetts, so he knows that recruiting ground very well, and Killings is the lead recruiter on French. Temple's been in the mix, or been recruiting French for a while now. Killings actually went to go see French work out at his high school, I believe, in December, so they've known about him. They've been recruiting him for a while, but just wanted to see him over the weekend and see what he did over the weekend, and they liked what they saw out of him this weekend. All right, so they join a number of high major programs in the mix, such as Vanderbilt, Seton Hall, Providence, and Pitt. French hasn't been to Temple yet, so he didn't really have much to offer on that front, but he sounded open to taking a visit at some point. He'll set up some visits in August. Out of the three kids from PSA, it sounds like maybe Temple has the best shot at him as of now.
What do you think of this notion too? Like, and this is getting debated on our message boards because a lot of people are saying, why waste your time with Muhammad Bamba, who's got, he's a top five recruit. Quade Green has Duke in the mix potential. I don't know if Duke has actually pulled the trigger on an offer to him, but Syracuse and yet Fran Dunphy has gone out to see them. You think he's doing that to just keep their hat in the ring, create some goodwill. And then I think it was in that story, in that Son French story, where he said, yeah, those guys have said Temple's pretty cool. I should go check it out. Are they kind of just putting money in the bank by going to see these guys and creating goodwill for some of the guys they're playing with?
Well, I should note that he didn't say that unprompted. I asked him about it because Quade is a kid from Philly. Mm-hmm. Mo Bamba and Brandon Randolph go to school, Westtown School, mm-hmm. right outside of Philly, and they've all been to Temple. But yeah, I mean, I guess, look, I look at it this way. If Dumphy didn't go see Quade Green and didn't go see Brandon Randolph and didn't go see Mo Bamba this past week, I think the fans would be upset that he's not recruiting them, not even trying with them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can say maybe he's wasting his time, but at least they're trying. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you have to try with these local kids. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's my take. I think mm-hmm. you just have to keep trying, and that's what they're doing. Are they doing a good enough job of recruiting them? That might be the question. But they're mm-hmm. still trying, and mm-hmm. and that's all you can ask, really.
Yeah, I mean, and then in the same vein, like obviously Sean Alston was a little bit of a unique case because, you know, he was a legacy. But what if you hadn't tried for Obi because Villanova was interested in Obi? Like you never know. Basketball is different because it's not like football where, okay, this kid has an Alabama offer. Odds are he's going to go to Alabama. Basketball, every program can only really take 2-3 kids a year, right? So, no, I think you definitely got to keep trying. Mm-hmm. And like Matt said, if for some reason, like, oh, we didn't go out to Westtown School because he already has a Syracuse offer, then some of the subscribers on our boards would be ready to
lose their minds even more.
Yeah, that would be ugly. Yeah. But, yeah, I'll move on to GK Obina, who Temple's been on since last summer. They've been recruiting him hard since last summer. He's a native of Nigeria, just started playing basketball in 2013, so he's kind of new to the game. But a big man that's been on campus before, been up to Temple, been up to Philly, checked out Temple and checked out St. Joe's on a visit to Philly. And Fran Duffy actually stopped in on, I believe it was Monday, for an in-home visit with Obina. And Obina seems to like Dumphy, said he's a nice man, said he seems like a good coach, and Dumphy basically told him you're one of, if not the top guys that we're targeting in the 2017 class. So Temple wants him badly. And Aaron McKee is the lead recruit on him, as John mentioned earlier. McKee's kind of become the guy that recruits out of the DMV the most. And Obina spoke highly of McKee as well, and the relationship. But Obina, he has some other high majors on him. Seton Hall, Miami, Virginia Tech have offered, and he really couldn't pinpoint, you know, a couple of schools that are recruiting him the hardest, but did throw out Temple, Xavier, St. Joe's as three schools that have been on him consistently. So it seems like Temple's in decent standing with him. They're recruiting him hard, and he's probably their top target in the 2017 class as far as big men go, or one of the top targets.
I think his AAU coach is a guy named Duval Simmons, who played for Martelli at St. Joe's, so they feel like they have a shot at him too. So, but yeah, two important targets there. And then more football stuff as well. A guy who came up for the spring game, Cameron Bent, who you had said, you know, you would talk to him, what, a month ago or a couple months ago, where he kind of gave you the impression that, like, he pretty much just wanted to stay around South Carolina and then mm-hmm. comes up for the spring game.
Yeah, it was unexpected. I talked to him right after he landed the offer, and he basically said to me, he's like, I want to stay close to home. I want to stay in South Carolina for college. And he had – South Carolina was the first school to offer him right after Will Muschamp got the head coaching job there. He offered Bent like a couple days after he got the job. Bent runs on Huddle, he's listed running a 4.2540. That's probably not legit, but the kid is fast.
He does very look fast.
Very fast. He plays Wildcat quarterback, plays receiver, plays slot back. Actually ran for more yards than he caught. He ran for 611 yards on 57 carries. That's 10.7 average, and also had 7 touchdowns. So he played a lot of Wildcat quarterback. Also, I thought this was really impressive. He only had 9 receptions last year in 7 games, But he went for 249 yards, so he averaged almost 28 yards a catch. He's a big play kid. Only played in 7 games last year because of injuries, but he's kind of flown under the radar, even though South Carolina's offered. That's really his only big-time SEC offer. And Evan Cooper did a good job of just staying on him. Evan Cooper was the one that found him, discovered him down in South Carolina. Then Cooper kind of just kept recruiting him. Cooper's been talking to him every day, and that relationship kind of just led to Bent saying, "Hey, I'll come up, check out the spring game." And he spoke really highly of the city, spoke highly of the campus, seemed to like everything, and walked away saying that Temple and South Carolina are on top of his recruitment right now. So Temple's, again, in pretty good standing he went from basically saying, "I want to stay really close to home," to now saying, I'm going to have to give Temple a serious consideration now.
Expanding the footprint. Changing times. Back to you guys in the booth.
Ben is definitely an interesting case. And another guy that Temple has been on for a while now is Harrison Hand. He's a 2017 corner from Cherry Hill West High School, my hometown, in South Jersey.
A little plug in there.
Although I didn't go to Cherry Hill West. I went to Cherry Hill East.
So if anything, he hates him because of it. Relax.
Yeah, I have a real hatred for him.
Is it that intense a rivalry? Or?
No. Both football programs are not that strong. And that's part of the reason why Hand probably hasn't blown up. He's a 5'11", 180-pound corner. He only has offers from Rutgers and Old Dominion right now and Temple. But I think I've seen him play in person like probably a handful of times now, and if he didn't play at Cherry Hill West, which is not historically a good football program, he'd probably have some big time offers by now. Mm-hmm. But Temple's been on him hard. Fran Brown's the lead recruiter on him. Fran Brown, of course, is a South Jersey guy. Played at Camden High. So Han spoke highly of his relationship with Fran. And it seems like this is just one of those things where Temple and Rutgers are battling it out right now for Hand. Hand was on campus for the spring game. He's been on campus numerous times before, was on campus earlier this spring. And it should be interesting to see what happens with Temple going after a kid against this new Rutgers staff. Rutgers has had some recent success. Yeah. They've landed Bo Melton, a couple other highly ranked kids that Temple did offer. So, this is a kid that Temple really, really wants, and Rutgers wants him badly, too. Rutgers has been on him for a while. They were on him with the old staff, now the new staff. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but he's definitely one of the Temple's top targets as far as 2017 DBs go.
Chris Ash, Matt Rule fighting to the death. What's up with me and these stupid... bad
dramatic claims.
You don't have to put a bow on everything. Sometimes, the segment's just... They promote themselves.
Jamie, I owe you a better performance in your...
How much would it cost for you to just cut John out of the podcast? Like, how much work would that take?
Not much. Another it could be hour. Done, right?
Maybe an hour I could do that in.
Replace me? Would you replace me with, like, Elmo, or do you just leave me out?
Yeah, I had to bring up a Sesame character.
He still hasn't gotten over.
You're very sensitive about that, aren't you?
Yeah, just man. I get made fun
Cookie
of
Monster. I would rather listen to Cookie Monster than me.
Yeah, Cookie Monster is a national treasure.
Yeah.
You're like a sub-regional nuisance. I'm sorry.
Sub-regional
none of my side.
Nuisance.
Wow.
I'm still a little hurt from Jamie's thing.
What an odd dagger to toss.
I'm lashing out at you. I'm sorry.
But it hit me. A sub-regional nuisance.
Let that sink in.
Have those words ever been put together before?
Probably
sub-regional
not.
Nuisance.
Sub-regional appropriate phrase? I don't think so. Where are we going next, Jamie?
We got the mailbag?
We got the mailbag?
Mail time. Mail time. Mail time. Mail time.
The mail's here.
Well, guys, it's time for my final mailbag. Am I retiring the music with me?
Where did you find it?
I made it.
Out of what, though? Out of
we Blues had, Clues? I made the Blues Clues, and then we searched for royalty-free music.
Oh, yeah. I did.
I thought the... I found the intro music, though.
Mm-hmm.
You found the site, and then I delved through and found it. It's like... Are you guys having someone update the music next semester, or what?
I'm currently in rights to acquire the soundtrack to Purple Rain.
Oh, it's a big time negotiation.
Where are you getting this money from?
I don't ask you how you live your life.
Well, something to do with the I guess that's really good to break in. Do we want to break our first question then?
Yeah, so before we jumped over to this next segment, Jamie said, and I quote, "I don't really get the Prince hype."
I said, "I've never really
Prince
understood."
Prince had the best Super Bowl performance of all time.
You ever heard him play guitar?
Yes, obviously. The famous story I've heard of Prince was actually at the Saturday Night Live rap party for SNL 40 last year when they had that big final or the show on SNL where they had the after party, and obviously SNL's after parties are legendary. Mm-hmm. Well, this one,
obviously,
just all of a sudden the stage clears and Prince starts playing, mm-hmm. and everyone just falls silent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like they had like Taylor Swift was up there, like all the big guys, all the heavy hitters, and then suddenly it goes quiet.
Prince. I don't think he gets enough credit or got enough credit as a guitarist because
somebody once asked Eric Clapton how does it feel to be the best guitar player in the world and he said I don't know, ask Prince.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's ridiculous.
These are things I've never heard.
A bunch of people were sharing this video this afternoon after the news broke of him dying and that tribute for George Harrison when George Harrison passed away. Mm-hmm. It's Tom Petty, probably Donnie Harrison, a couple other people playing on stage, playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and then like 3.5
minutes in. I think that probably hit number one on Billboard.
Prince comes in with this solo that's just absolutely ridiculous. He's just so good. So many songs that he wrote for people that people didn't know about, and you don't get the hype.
I'll say.
I mean, it's never been a part of my generation.
Right. Like, right.
So you saw the Carlos Boozer thing today, right? So I saw that story.
I did. What was that?
Apparently, Prince once rented a house from Carlos Boozer. How that relationship came to be, I have no idea. So he moves in. He rips out the front gate of the house and replaces it with a gate that has the Prince logo. He takes all the water in the house and makes it purple. He paints all this crap. Just destroys the house. Carlos Boozer hears out, goes out like I'm meant to beat up Prince. Like I'm meant to beat up Prince. He shows up, gets ready to beat up Prince, and Prince just. Takes out a checkbook, writes $1 million, throws it at Carlos Boozer, and says that should cover it, right? Carlos Boozer, yeah, okay.
That's legendary.
But no, the best.
This is where the Chappelle stuff comes from because he's actually like that, right?
Yeah,
or was
apparently
actually
like he was very eccentric. I was listening to the radio coming in. Questlove told this story where this is before the Roots really took off, but Questlove was pretty well known regionally as like a DJ. Mm-hmm. Prince comes in, plays the show. Questlove's there to see Prince. And while he's there, Prince's PR guy texts Questlove and says, yo, Prince wants an after party. Can you put together an after party? He wants you to put together and perform an after party. So Questlove leaves the show he paid to go see Prince, calls up all his boys, they get a party together, they get like a venue together, he's going to go do this. He shows up, Prince shows up like an hour late, it's like a good environment, he's like, Prince probably wants something like funky, starts playing like James Brown, like on the DJ. PR guy comes up, says, Prince isn't feeling this, like you're set list. What do you mean? I thought this would be a good Prince. So he wants you to play this. He slides him in what he thought was a CD. Turns out it's a DVD. This is not even making this up. Finding Nemo. Prince wanted him to just play Finding Nemo in the background of this party for 2 hours.
That's legendary. Where did you hear that?
It was on the radio. Questlove, I think Questlove tweeted out or went on an article about it. He was telling his best Prince story.
That's amazing.
There's never a Prince story where a Rolling Stone sends him to interview him, and he just gets this address, and it's just this abandoned warehouse in the middle of what he thought was Minneapolis. He goes in, and it's just painted white walls, and it's Prince sitting in the middle with a couch and just a bunch of instruments. Prince was out of his mind, and it was fantastic.
He sounds like the coolest guy in the world. I mean,
I've heard stories like that.
Have you seen the Chappelle
story? Yeah, I've seen
it. It's true. It's a true story.
Yeah.
He's a man.
Blouses for the win.
It's such crazy. A true story that when they asked Prince about it, it took him a second to remember it. That's how extraordinary his life was. That moment when people quote so quotable on Chappelle's show was just a day. It was like Tuesday to him, beating Charlie Murphy.
All right, so I guess our first mailbag question. Do you want me to read it? Or did you?
Yeah,
get
go
it?
Ahead. I haven't gotten the email.
So it's Jack McNeil Jack on Twitter. Better album. Purple Rain or Thriller? And then also, how tall are you? You look pretty short. who's he addressing there? Me?
Who's he adding right there? Being added?
We're all at it. Al Scoop,
Jay DeCarlo. 6 foot on a good day.
I'm 5'11". I tell people I'm 6 foot.
Oh, yeah, you have
yeah,
to.
I go.
There's nothing better than telling
people. And my wife just massacres me for it. She's like, you're like 5'11". And when I actually stand up straight, sometimes I slouch a little bit. When I stand up straight,
sometimes
like,
I slouch.
When I stand up straight, like I could probably like go for 6 foot, and she'll call me out. Like, why are you on your tippy toes? So like, I'm not on tippy toes. I'm just standing up straight.
I say that I'm 5'10", but I
that's more honest than we are.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're a better person than me.
I don't measure myself too often.
Yeah, I think like I'm 5'10", 5'11", probably. I think I'm like listed at 6 feet on my driver's license.
You're definitely 6 foot on my driver's license. Yeah. I'm probably 5'11".
All right. Better album, Purple Rain or Thriller? Is Jamie even qualified to answer this question?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, just not really in the sense of Purple Rain. I've heard it through maybe once in full, like one listening session. I'd probably go Thriller just because Michael Jackson is probably like the number one artist of a generation, I'd say. As much as the legendary stories of Prince probably top that, I really do like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, as much as I just spent the last 5 minutes hyping up Prince, you know, Thriller is probably an all-time album, right? And Purple Rain was, I think, the only... Prince at one point was the only person to have the top box office and top Billboard of all time, because Purple Rain was the soundtrack to the movie Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. And that was number one on the box office wall. Purple Rain was number one in the...
Theaters.
Though I bet you Titanic eventually topped that.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be shocked.
But yeah, I'll go Thriller.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the track listing for Purple Rain, so it's Let's Go Crazy, Take Me With You,
Computer Blue, Nikki. There's a Nikki thing in there.
Darling Nikki, When Doves Cry, I Would Die For You, Baby I'm a Star, Purple Rain. So a lot of hits. I would still say that Thriller is... Thriller came out in 83, so I was like 7 or 8, somewhere around that time. Thriller is the biggest thing that I have ever seen in my life. Like, everybody bought that album. Everybody loved it. Like, even my Italian grandmother, like, straight out of Italy, she's 92 years old now, still speaks in broken English. She loved it. She actually tried dancing around like Michael Jackson. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Everybody, Thriller was just a monster. Everybody started trying to buy
pun intended.
Pun intended on what?
Monster.
Oh, good point. I'm slow in the uptake on that one. I apologize. I mean, everybody was buying like those. I did not. I think I probably asked my parents at one point if I could have one of those like red jackets. Thriller jackets. It was denied. Thriller was absolutely huge. So I would give the edge to
just
to
going off the singles. Thriller, you have This Girl's Mine, Billie Jean, Beat It, Wanna Be Starting Something, Human Nature, PYT, and Thriller.
They were all singles. So every single one of them.
That's what
was
I said.
Single.
Yeah. They were singles. And Purple Rain's singles were When Doves Cry, Let's Go Crazy, Purple Rain, I Would Die For You, and Take Me With You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Take Me With You is kind of a weak one.
Yeah, so Thriller.
Yeah. We're all in agreement. Good discussion, though. I'll miss you, Prince.
Do we want to read... Jamie, do you want to read Pat...
Let me get Pat's statement.
Yeah, it's a statement and not...
I'm a big McGregor fan, so this is in vain of Conor McGregor retiring than unretiring. So this comes from Pat Egan. After much thought, discussion with my family, and prayer with the man upstairs, I've decided to not participate in the mailbag question. I want to thank the staff of The Scoop for asking me, along with literally everyone else on Twitter, but the listeners have asked that I refrain, and I must respect their wishes. I am retired.
The listeners asking to refrain, meaning Jeff McDevitt. Which I said to him last week via Twitter, as a volume social media, Jeff McDevitt is the definition of a volume social media. Just throw it out there. 10% of it's great. Awesome. That's what it is. He should understand that. Pat's question last week.
He's not done. Pat's statement is done.
I know.
Thanks for the cheese. Hashtag not too wild, boys. Hashtag the scoop takeover. Hashtag seriously, what happened with Anthony Davis? I think that's like part question in lieu of...
He put a little radio microphone and a little like old school radio
like our little radio microphone.
Well, that's a little bit of Fanatic colors, the red and the white.
I think it's supposed to be the cherry in the white, right?
But no, but he doesn't understand that the recruit emoji for Temple are actual cherries. You don't do that. That's like Rutgers that he did.
It could be Fanatic.
Yeah, he did it note style as if he was announcing a commitment or something like that. But
I appreciate it.
I hope after your summer off, Pat. I don't think we've really... Have we mentioned that this? Yeah, we did. This is our last...
periodic pop-up podcast.
Yeah,
pop-up podcast.
Periodically checking in on The Scoop throughout the summer, maybe talking some, I don't know, some more featurey type topics, previewing preseason camp.
John DeCarlo's 10 beach books of the summer.
That would be a hit. What's John listening to this week?
Yeah, it's the same album he's listening to for the last 26 years.
Kyle just grabs my phone or my iPod for road trips, and I'll give him a lot of credit. He gives Kyle will like I'll say, why are you playing that song? Like, I've literally never heard this, but I'm willing to give it a chance.
I like to experience new things.
Most the deepest. You can't call it really like a deep track, but Kyle's best find on my iPod was what?
Heartlight.
Yeah.
Turn on your heartlight.
Neil Diamond song for the E.T. soundtrack. You've heard it?
No,
you've never heard it.
He's mocking me to my face.
Yeah.
No, you've never
Your generation is just very, very disrespectful.
You always tell me how you're not that much older than me.
But then you've told me that you associate me more with John's age than your age.
Than myself? Well, that's probably because you have a job and you're a functioning adult.
You're putting yourself down too much. All right, little side music question for you. You're going on a road trip. Let's say we throw you into the car, which makes it sound like a kidnapping, but it's not. You're coming with us to go cover Penn State or UConn next year, and you have control of a playlist. What song do you want to listen
Breaking
to
Breaking news.
What's that?
And this is a good thing, assuming this is true. I have no reason to believe that you are lying to me, Sam Foreman. Trey Lowe was just sighted on campus.
He has been walking around on campus.
Trey Lowe's on campus.
Good stuff.
Good for Trey.
But I would caution anyone to think that he is 100% certainly ready to go for a preseason camp in October. Kid's been through a lot. So I think it's definitely a good sign that he's around and walking around and is out of the hospital. But I think still it's going to be a bit of a recovery for him. Again, think of it this way, and we get asked about this a lot on Twitter. A lot of these guys have been dribbling a ball, working out, lifting weights and stuff, and he was just learning to recover from a car accident. But again, good sign that he is walking around.
So back
road trip question. Okay. A couple of songs that you want to get on the playlist. Somebody says, Jamie, it's your turn. What do you put out there?
So is this like this? I was struggling with this the other night when I was trying to control the karaoke jukebox.
That's a different question.
Well, altogether. You're going. So what are you looking for? Like sing-alongs or like?
That's the question. You're
in control.
Bohemian Rhapsody is probably right there.
The headbanging. So you're a sing-along guy. Okay.
Yeah.
You need highs and lows.
Oh, I couldn't take a road trip with you. I don't like sing-along stuff.
No, Bohemian Rhapsody caps it off. Like that's my go-to song.
I'm a big sing. When I'm by myself in the car, I'm a big sing-along.
I mean, then otherwise, like I'm not huge on blasting tunes. Like I listen to a lot of podcasts, like conversational.
Really?
Yeah. Like I'm listening to a political podcast right now.
What are you listening to?
Keeping It 1600.
Yeah.
It's a new political podcast. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's through the ringer. I don't give any free promotion, but I'm big on it.
Kyle delved into Little Deuce Coupe and like was singing all the high notes.
So yeah, there we go. Bohemian Rhapsody, then we'd have a nice mix of podcasts.
I would just
play the scoop.
Bohemian Rhapsody and then just 3 hours of listening to ourselves.
Just
prattle on.
Then every now and then we sprinkle in some more Bohemian Rhapsody. We go back to the solo and then we just keep jamming.
I'm also, I feel like this is unutilized. I feel like when you're on a road trip, you choose a song and it doesn't hit, you gotta be willing to pull the plug. I pull the plug 90 seconds, 2 minutes into a song if it's not getting the vibe that I like.
But there's smooth edits though. It goes from one song to the next.
My friends are very big on pulling the plug. Like we'd always argue when we do road trips, pull the song, let me control it. And you never really let someone get in the groove though. It takes a few songs.
It does. You gotta feel out your audience.
Exactly. So it's been a struggle, but I think I'd probably lead off with the sing-alongs and then probably delve into it, get the mood, depends on who I'm in the car.
Do you use the smallest snap on the snap hat?
Yes,
snap
I do.
Back? How tiny is your head?
Not that small. We can save this for after.
The
okay,
smallest
what's the next question?
Snap. My nephew might have a bigger head than
me. I'm a little bit concerned.
Next
question. And JHG722 checking in once again. How are your dogs?
I'm not concerned about your dogs. How's the bird?
I have a dog.
Bird's great.
And Matt has a dog, too.
But the bird's the highlight of the show.
I like my dog better than my birds.
So we went the full season without the bird being in here. We could just be the bird perched up there, just mocking, just mimicking us. Like
she would not be behaved at all.
Just be flying around, just clawing around.
Just repeat.
You're right, Kyle. He contributes nothing. I don't know.
We got planning for next year. We can knock out this wall. I don't know. If this
a bird sanctuary.
A bird sanctuary. There's a bird sanctuary near my house. At least that's what Google Maps tells me. I've never been there.
Does it disappoint you that the mailbag questions were really light for your final podcast?
Nah,
you think it was intentional?
We didn't really announce that it was my last podcast.
As if that would change.
Do you think that would have changed anything?
I'd like to think it, but by both of you framing those questions, it kind of hurts. Both of you. Do you think it would? I guess not, guys. Thanks a lot.
I mean, any final thoughts you want to share? Any wisdom you'd like to impart?
Stay as long as you can in college, man. It's great.
Why are you so upset? You're so dark with everything. You have a promising future.
I would beg to differ, but I've got a rough couple hours in front of me before I can really say that I'm ready to graduate. So.
All right, so you have some final classwork to finish up. You'll be all right.
A lot of classwork to final up.
Well, that's what college is.
Yeah, well.
What's your final sign-off going to be?
I, like, sniffled into the night as, like, I signed off today. Today was my final radio show as well. So I always play Imagine Dragons when we go off on Top of the World. It's a very happy song. So, like, today, I just went off. Said, talk to you soon.
Huh. Kyle's unimpressed.
Yeah. Well, I would have just done three minutes of dead air. Just as, like, a final, like, this is where I was. And then people think, is this intentional? Did he just walk away? Did he forget how to radio?
And he's just not there.
And he's not there. And then they never get addressed. And you fade away into the subconscious of all your listeners.
Do you wish you would have done that?
I feel like I should just do that now. Just let it go. Let it ride. But not really. So you guys can... it's been great. It's been a good season of The Scoop. We brought it back, first of all. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really a thing until this year.
It was a thing 6 years ago.
Well, we made it legit this year.
Well, shout out to my buddy John Terlecki, who used to help us out with it. And it was revived with your
help. Revived it.
And we appreciate everything you've done for us. I sincerely mean that.
So if you give me a good grade, we're good.
A good evaluation.
And whatever.
B minus.
I'll take it. That's passing.
B's get the grade.
All right, so... we'll be back with pop-up podcasts over the summer.
That's great. That might be your biggest contribution.
I'm fine with that. I like that.
Podcast. Where are we popping up?
It's going to be like the random beer gardens.
Yeah, I would like that.
15th and South. They're like, oh, we're opening up. And then boom, we're kicking in the doors. We're
like
we're
somewhere like
down
a booth.
We put down a little microphone. The little microphone. Pop-up podcast.
Can we get a table for four?
Water, napkins?
You might keep that a little quiet.
I'm so sorry. Just a water for now, thanks. menus whenever you're ready.
Slice lemons, please.
Slice lemon, just rinse them off first.
So we'll have those during the summer. I'll check back in periodically, I hope. And we're good to go, right, guys?
What?
Sounds good. Like, we're good?
That's your sign, right?
Well, usually you thank everyone, so...
No, you...
All right, guys, thanks for listening all this time. I think that the podcast has been a success. Keep it locked here for more. The site's in good hands. The podcast, I don't know if it's in good hands, but good luck to the guy trying to follow me up. I made a good song. And I'll let it play now. ¶¶